सर्वेषां नमस्कारः सुप्रभातम् आई अपोलोजाइज फॉर द डिले लेट्स बिगिन विद द श्लोक योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचां मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तम प्रवरं मुनीनां पतंजलिम प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि। योगसूत्र परिचय वर्गस्य एषा द्वादश कक्ष्या। So let's begin with the review of the previous session. We had completed the first pada, the prathama padaha, that is the samadhi pada, and then commenced sadhana pada, the second chapter on the various methods of practice of yoga, sadhana. Methods of practice. Initially, again, as we do, we have split the pada into units. Units that contain thoughts that are similar, ideas or concepts which are similar in nature. So, the first unit of the sadhana pada has the range of the sutras in the first unit is the first 11 sutras, and then in the first unit we discuss about Kriya Yoga and Kleshas. That is these are the two major concepts that appear in the first unit. And as we saw earlier, of course in the first pada there are certain practices, sadhanas towards the practice of yoga. And those practices are for samahita chitta. Vyasa uses these two terms, samahita chitta and vyutthita chitta. Samahita chitta is a person or a sadhaka or an aspirant who already possesses a certain level of calmness of mind, samahita, calmness of mind. So he is a samahita chitta. So who is a bit advanced in the practice of yoga. So all the methods like abhyasa, vairagya, all those practices are for samahita chitta. And for those practitioners or those who are desirous to attain the goal of yoga but whose mind is not yet prepared, who has a mind of vikshepa, whose mind possesses vikshepa in the sense that those whose mind is still distracted, they are vyutthita chittas. And Vyasa says the practices or the methods of yoga that are presented here are for vyutthita chittas. And we have the Kriya Yoga for the vyutthita chittas, those with distractions, those whose mind have distractions. So Kriya Yoga has three components: tapaha, swadhyaya, Ishwara Pranidhanam. We saw that tapaha is disciplining the body, svadhyaya is for the speech, for the disciplining of the speech, and Ishvara Pranidhanam is to focus or to culture the mind. So we know that three karanas, kayaha, vak and manaha, body, speech and mind, are to be aligned so that any desired goal is achieved. Even in our day-to-day activities, when these three are aligned, we systematically attain a goal. But when there is a disconnect between these three, then progress is not easy. And so, in Kriya Yoga, methods that culture, methods that discipline the body, the speech and the mind are provided. So that is Ishvara Pranidhana. And the purpose, the goal of this Kriya Yoga, all these three put together is called as Kriya Yoga. Patanjali says that the prayojana or the goal of these three units of Kriya Yoga is to gradually attain samadhi, samadhi bhavanarthaha, klesha tanukaranarthascha, to weaken the kleshas. So the goal of Kriya Yoga is to weaken the kleshas, weaken the causes of afflictions of the mind, and thereby facilitating the attainment of samadhi. So the focus here of Kriya Yoga is, as is clear from the sutra, is to weaken the kleshas. Klesha tanukaranam. Tanukaranam, to weaken the kleshas. And then comes the question, kleshas. So how many are the kleshas? As there was a mention of kleshas in the second sutra, then Patanjali systematically says the number of kleshas. Pancha kleshaha. There are five kleshas. Kleshas, causes of suffering. Earlier in the first pada, there was a mention, an indirect mention to the term klesha. We saw that there are vrittayaha, panchatayaha, the five types of vrittis, the chitta vrittis, the activity of the mind, all the activity of mind is classified into five: pramana, viparyaya, vikalpa, nidra, smritayaha. These were the five kinds of chitta vrittis. And Patanjali had earlier in the first pada stated that all these five chitta vrittis are either klishtas or aklishtas. Klishtas, those that cause, those that are associated with the cause of affliction, pain and suffering, and those that are not associated with the cause of pain, suffering and affliction. So they are klishtas and aklishtas. So the causes of those klishta vrittis is called as klesha. And in the next sutra, we find that the kleshas, the five kleshas are enumerated: avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. These are the five kleshas: avidya, ignorance; asmita, ego; raga is passion or attachment; dvesha, hatred; abhinivesha is clinging to life. Each of these 5 will be defined in the successive sutras. So these are the 5 kleshas, and these 5 kleshas have 4 states of expression. That is very important here. They have 4 states: prasupta, tanu, vichinna and udara. These are the 4 states in which they express themselves. We have seen this in the previous class itself. Just a reminder of all these. Prasupta is the dormant state of these kleshas. Tanu is the weakened state. Vichinna is interrupted state. And Udara is the active state. We have seen this. Prasupta is where the kleshas are dormant. Even when there is possibility of the arousal of that particular klesha, when it still does not arise, even when there is provocation, when a person does not get angry, in a sense who is mentally very calm and cool, then it can be stated, just for an example, that his dvesha, that is the klesha which is dvesha, is prasupta. And tanu is, in the presence of provocation, a weak anger, a weak sense of response to that situation. The klesha is, the klesha expresses itself in a weak manner. He of course gets angry, but his reaction or his anger is not that much which causes devastation. Not that much of an anger. So then it says that his klesha is in a tanu state. I am just stating for an example. And vichinna is intercepted. It is not that that we have only one klesha. All the kleshas are active all the time in our mind. Raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, hatred, attachment, clinging to life, ignorance, ego, all these are there. But at any point of time, only one klesha can be active, in the sense that all these are very, very alive, but only one can express itself at any single moment. So what happens is, when one is active, if one has occupied the mind, then the others keep waiting. In the sense, they are raring to go, raring to express themselves. But as the one klesha is active, they are unable to express themselves. So they are waiting in the wings, so to say. So in a sense, when a person is angry, it doesn't mean that he is totally free from desires, or he does not have ego, all those things. It means that his anger, or the dvesha, the klesha called dvesha, is being expressed now. Others are just being suppressed by that. So they are just waiting to get expressed. So that state is called as vichinna. They are equally powerful, but because one klesha is active, other kleshas wait and wait for their chance. So which klesha expresses itself? That klesha which has the strongest provocation, that expresses itself. So, anger, for example, anger which might have had the strongest kind of provocation, it expresses itself. But sometimes desire or raga might have had a provocation from the world outside, which is brought to us through the senses. Then it will be active and anger will be vichinna, suppressed or intercepted by the stronger klesha. So that is the third state, vichinna. And udara is a very active state. So when desire has a very great kind of instigation or provocation from the world outside, then it is said that when the mind is filled with desire and acts according to the desire, guided by the desire or dictated by desire, then it is said that the klesha called raga is udara. So these are the four states. Why are these four states of klesha mentioned? So it is mentioned so that a yogi understands that the kleshas should be gradually moved from their udara state, and they have to be weakened tanu, and then they have to be finally made dormant, prasupta. And prasupta is not the final state. There is a state which is mentioned by, added by the Bhashyakara, Vyasa Bhashya. He says, Dagdha Bija Avastha, a state where the kleshas become, they resemble or they attain a state where they do not spring forth to life at all. Just like a burnt seed. Only a seed which is fresh that can give rise to a sapling. But a seed which is burnt, that will never again spring forth to life. Similarly, the kleshas should be made dagdha, burnt by the fire of knowledge. So that comes later. So for all these kleshas, the five kleshas which have four states, the bed or the kshetram of all these kleshas is avidya. Avidya in the Yoga Sutras is ignorance. And this is avidya kshetram uttaresham. So to the later kleshas like raga, dvesha, adhinivesha and asmita, avidya is the seat. Avidya is the seat from where all the later other kleshas emerge. So ignorance is the root cause, is the basic klesha, the fundamental klesha, kshetram. Now, so thus far we saw in the previous class. And now we move towards the next. And what is avidya? Avidya is defined as anitya, ashuchi, dukha, anatmasu, nitya, shuchi, sukha, atmakhyatihi, avidya. That is the definition of avidya which is presented. So in the fifth sutra. So avidya is going by Vyasa's commentary, all these kleshas are nothing but viparyayas. Viparyaya is wrong knowledge. You might remember that there are five kinds of vrittis: pramana, viparyaya, vikalpa, nidra, smritayaha. Pramana is right knowledge. Viparyaya is wrong knowledge. Vikalpa is imaginary knowledge. Nidra is sleep. And smriti is memory. So there are these five types of knowledges. And viparyaya is wrong knowledge. Mithya jnanam. Atadrupa pratishtham. Viparyaya is wrong knowledge, which is not based on the real nature of the object. It is just like the example that we give. like the shine of a silver that we see in a normal conch shell that lies in the seashore. So that is the wrong knowledge or viparyaya knowledge, or perceiving a snake in a rope, erroneous perception, wrong knowledge. So that is viparyaya, and avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, all these are viparyayas, and avidya is the root cause of all these five viparyayas. And what is avidya? The definition of avidya is anitye nitya khyatihi, that is wrongly understanding an impermanent, a transient thing as a permanent thing, mistaking an impermanent thing as a permanent thing. For example, considering the body as eternal, considering that this body will be there forever. So that is anitye nitya khyatihi, having the knowledge of permanence in impermanent things. That is avidya. Ashuchau shuchi khyatihi. Ashuchi is impure and shuchi is pure. Having the notion of purity in impure things. Again, the example is the body. The body the commentators describe that it is full of impurities, but still it is wrongly perceived as beautiful. And then attraction towards the body develops, and this leads to a lot of problems. And hence, so this is ashuchau shuchi khyatihi. The body is the seat of sweat, blood, and all other impurities, but still it is perceived as something beautiful and worth loving. So that is ashuchau shuchi khyatihi, wrong knowledge. This is also expression of avidya. Anitye nitya khyatihi, ashuchau shuchi khyatihi, and anatmani atma khyatihi. Anatma, that which is not the real self, that is anatma. Atmakhyatihi, considering that as self, identifying the non-self as self, identifying the non-atman as the atman, that is considering that I am body, considering I am mind, considering I am the senses, erroneously, wrongly, is again avidya. Whereas my true nature is consciousness, whereas I am consciousness, but wrongly associating the notion of myself with the body, mind and senses is anatmani atmakhyatihi. So these three basically put together becomes avidya according to Yoga Sutra. Anitya, ashuchi, and then dukkha. One more point. Dukhe sukhakyatihi. That which is painful, considering that as pleasurable, wrongly considering that which is painful as pleasurable, is again avidya. For example, all the experiences that the senses bring are essentially painful, but they are momentarily they give happiness, but the residue is pain. It is very beautifully put in the Yoga Sutra, in the commentaries later, in Vyasa's commentary, that only the yogi who is sensitive to dukkha can realize that everything around is dukkha, pain. Whereas the normal beings, they are numb with sufferings, that they don't consider sufferings as suffering at all. They always are in the thirst, in the pursuit of happiness. They don't consider suffering as suffering at all, because it is not that they have overcome the sense of suffering, but they are numb or insensitive to suffering. The yogi is like the Akshipatra Kalpa. The yogi is the Akshipatra Kalpa. In the sense, he is like the eyeball. Whereas the others are like the skin of the other parts of the body. I'll just explain this. The eyeball is very sensitive. Even if a small speck of dust enters the eyeball, it immediately reacts. It waters, it becomes red, and it immediately expels the dirt from the eye. Because the eyeball is extremely sensitive to foreign material, foreign matter. Whereas, think that some dust settles on the skin. We are not at all pained. We just, though we see, it doesn't make any difference, or it doesn't pain all those. It doesn't create any kind of trouble to us. So, yogi, the commentator Vyasa says that yogi is very sensitive to the dukkha around. He sees that everything around is dukkha, and hence he is very active in rooting out every small dukkha that he might face. Whereas the others, they are not sensitive to dukkha, or they are already battered by dukkha so much, that pain and suffering so much, that and their longing or attraction towards sukha is so much, that though they experience the pain, they don't feel a sense of overcoming the dukkha. There is a beautiful example given to that. What is the mind of a worldly person? It is like a person is being chased by a tiger in a forest. So he is running for his life. So immediately he sees a great tree. So he latches onto it and climbs into the tree. And then when he moves upper and to upper branches, then what happens is that he sees a snake, a big snake crawling towards him. So he moves towards the edge of the branch, and above him, right above him, in the branch which is right above him, is a beehive full of bees which can deliver stinging blow. And the tiger is waiting below. The snake is inching closer, and the bees are swarming above. Even in that state of difficulty, he sees that from that beehive, a drop of honey is about to fall. He opens his mouth to get that drop of honey. So that typically presents the mind or the attitude of the normal beings. Even in the midst of all these suffering, difficulty, fear, the longing is for happiness, momentary happiness. So that is the nature of normal beings. Whereas a yogi is sensitive to all dangers all sufferings of the worldly life, and he systematically works to root out all these sufferings. So, a yogi is aware of all these causes of ignorance and avoids them. Anitye nityakhyatihi, ashuchau shuchikhyatihi. I said this because dukhe sukhakhyatihi. Even though there is dukkha, that is considered sukha. That becomes avidya. And then anatmani atmakhyatihi. Wrongly identifying the body, mind and senses as the Atman, that is Atmakhyatihi. Can you hear me? Is my voice audible? Okay, fine. Yeah. Thank you. There is a small typographical error here. Klishta, klishtaha. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Paul. Right. So this is avidya. And this wrong knowledge, as I mentioned earlier, is viparyaya. And now we move to the second klesha, that is asmita. Asmita is drig darshana shaktyoho ekatmata iva asmita. Drig shakti and darshana shakti, the mind Sattva Purushayoho Aham Asmi Ityekata Abhimanaha Asmita Ityarthaha. That is, ego, Asmita, is nothing but the notion I, the I-ness is, though the I-ness or the nature of self, the notion of self is truly to be associated with the Purusha, but that I-ness, when it is associated with the Darshana Shakti, the mind, then it becomes Asmita. That is, ego is that where the notion of I rests in the Darshana Shakti or the mind. So, the notion of ego, when it is focused on the mind alone, then wrongly identifying or wrongly fixing that I is the mind, then it becomes the I sense, when it is wrongly associated only with the mind, then it becomes asmita, ego. So from avidya springs asmita. As we see that even in avidya, this wrong sense of association, anatmani atmakhyatihi. Anatmani atmakhyati is wider in the sense which includes the body, mind and senses, whereas asmita speaks only about the idea of the I-ness being associated with the mind. Asmi is aham asmi, I am. The sense of I am, when that is fixed with the darshana shakti, darshanam is that which sees or that which perceives. Essentially, it is the mind which perceives. So, associating the I-ness or ego with or limiting it only to the mind becomes asmita, ego. And then, comes raga. Raga is passion, and sukhanushayi ragaha. Sukhanushayi ragaha. Sukha anushayi. It's a very short but very precise definition. Sukha is happiness. Anushayi, that which develops as a consequence of happiness, is raga. Anushayi. Anushete. Sukham anushete. That which follows out of the experience of happiness is raga. Vyasa, in his commentary, beautifully puts or defines raga here as sukhabhignyasya sukha anusmriti purvaha sukhe tat sadhaneva yogardha trishna lobha saha ragaha iti. Sukhabhignyasya, the one who knows what happiness is. Sukhanusmriti purvaha, the memory of the previous experience of happiness, that a person who knows what pleasure is, and for him the past memories of happiness, they come, and then because of that it impels him into sukhe tat sadhaneva gardha. It impels him or makes him greedy, gardha, greedy to attain sukha or tat sadhana, or the tools that bring happiness, or the instruments that bring happiness. Saha ragaha iti. So essentially, ragaha is defined by Vyasa as gardhaha or lobhaha, greed or excessive desire. So how does this excessive desire come? This excessive desire comes because of the previous experience of happiness. So the root of this ragaha is the previous experience, and this previous experience of pleasure, it makes a person greedy to attain more desire, and so that so he is focused upon attaining that desire or the instruments that will fetch or help him reach the fulfillment of the desire. So this, in short, summarizes what raga is. So as I mentioned earlier, it is raga is greed for more and more desire. Greed for more and more desire are the instruments that fulfill that desire. That is ragaha. Sukha anushayi. So that which follows due to the experience of pleasure earlier, that is ragaha. The next klesha is dveshaha. As we see here, all these kleshas are interlinked or connected with each other. From avidya, an aspect of avidya is asmita, anatmani atmakhyati. And when this wrong association of ego is there, then what happens is ragaha arises, that the atma or the purusha is always swarupa pratishtaha, is always established in its pristine pure nature, the conscious nature, whereas the imperfections, the desire, the greed, all these are for the mind, the senses and the body. So as there is asmita, wrong identification of the self with the mind, body and the senses, raga arises. Attachment or desire to fulfill the needs of the body, mind and senses arise. So hence asmita and raga are connected. Avidya and asmita are connected. And raga and dvesha are connected. So, how even in kamat krotho bhi jayate, that is what the Bhagavad Gita also says. So, from raga, dvesha arises. There is a question here. Is ahankara same as asmita? True, sir. So, asmita is the term used in Yoga Sutra. Ahankara is used in probably other texts. Even in Vedanta, ahankara is used to indicate ego. Whereas in Yoga Sutra, asmita is the term used to indicate ahankara or ego. Now, raga gives rise to dvesha. When a person is greedy, or if when the klesha called raga is active, a desire is running through his mind, when that a person is unable to fulfill his desire, some kind of an obstruction comes in the path of fulfilling a person's desire, then what flames forth is dvesha, hatred, for the cause that obstructs, or the anger or the hatred springs because the raga is obstructed. When someone is desire, even we can see it is clearly manifest in the children. We see that the children are up to something, they are doing something, or they are playing with something which is not very good for them, a sharp thing or something like that, which is a harmful thing. When they like it very much, they try to explore or play with such dangerous things, children, small children. But when the parent or elders simply snatch it away from their hand, what we see is a loud burst of cry, which is nothing but the expression of his anger. So, dvesha. From raga springs dvesha. And dukkhanushayi dveshaha. That is how Patanjali puts dvesha as. So, dvesha or hatred is that anushayi, which is a consequence or which follows the experience of dukkha, pain. So, dvesha is that which follows the experience of pain, that arises out of the experience of pain. The example of the child that we see. So, he is pained. The child is pained because his object of desire has been forcefully taken away. And because of that pain, what arises is dvesha. Dukkha abhignyasya dukkhanusmriti purvaha dukke tat sadhaneva yaha krodhaha sahadveshaha. So, a person who is aware of dukkha, he recollects whenever he sees certain things. He had previously experienced pain out of that, and so he naturally hates. For example, the pill, the medicine, the bitter pill. We have previously experienced that the medicine is bitter. I'm just giving a simple example. The medicine, we have tasted the medicine, which is bitter. And so whenever we see that medicine or the tablet or the pill, what happens is our previous experience of dukkha, suffering, it comes to the mind, and because of that arises a sense of dislike towards that, and hence that is dvesha. So this is how dvesha is put in the Yoga Sutra. Dukkha anusmriti purvaha krodhaha dveshaha iti. And as I mentioned earlier, this is even in Bhagavad Gita, it is kamat krodho bhi jayate. In the second chapter, the cause and effect link clearly establishes the link between Raga and Dvesha, Kama and Krodha. Kama is the seat of Krodha. Raga is the seat of Dvesha. So there is again a question here. Asmad iti bhavana asmita kim? Satyam. Nama asmat shabda seva. Aham ityas asmi ityasya bhavaha asmita. There is a word asmi. The kriyapada asti staha santi asi staha stha asmi swaha smaha. So asmi is a kriyapada. Aham balakaha asmi. Aham yuvakaha asmi. Aham manushyaha asmi. So these are the usages we see. So asmi means I am, I am. And the sense of I am-ness is asmita, which is nothing but ego. I hope I have answered the question. There was a question. Asmaditi bhavana asmita kim? To that, this is the answer. Asmi is a verb which means I am. And asmita is asmi ityasya bhavaha asmita. I am-ness is asmita, which is nothing but ego. So this is the fourth klesha, and the fifth and final klesha is abhiniveshaha. We will finish with this abhiniveshaha. Swarasavahi vidushaha api tatha rudhaha abhiniveshaha. This is a very interesting klesha. Abhinivesha is, in the general Sanskrit language, the term abhinivesha is associated with the meaning desire, generally. But this is used in a specific technical sense in Yoga Sutra. So abhinivesha is, in the general classical Sanskrit usage, is excessive attachment to anything. Saha sukhe abhinivishtaha, he is clinging to happiness. All those usages are there. But whereas in the Yoga Sutra, abhinivesha is, even here it is clinging, but the clinging towards the life, the clinging towards survival is abhinivesha here. The fear of death or the clinging to life. Aham bhuyam, aham bhuyasam. I should always be, I should always exist. I should never move into non-existence. There should not be a time when I do not exist. Aham sarvada bhuyasam. Ma abhuvam bhuyasam. There should not be a time when I become non-existent. I should always exist. That is the meaning of the term abhinivesha. And swarasavahi. And this abhinivesha is swarasavahi. It flows by its own nature. In the sense, it does not, as raga and dvesha need an external instigation, external thing to arouse. Whereas this abhinivesha continues to flow in the mind. It is always there. This sense of clinging, the sense of survival does not arise out of any external factor. It is always there. In a way, abhinivesha also, though Patanjali puts it this way, since this is placed after dvesha, essentially abhinivesha comes out of dvesha only. So that is the sequence here, because there is a sense of fear, dvesha, towards those causes, those that cause or those factors which might harm my existence. I am just repeating it again. So there is a sense of hatred or fear or anger towards those causes or those factors which might harm my existence. And hence, Abhinivesha is also a part of Dvesha only, but it is more centered on my survival. And hence, it is stated separately from Dvesha. This can be observed in the case of Avidya and Asmita also. Anatmani Atmakhyatihi, that aspect conveys what Asmita is. But the Asmita is also separately felt. The I-ness, the association of the sense I with the body, mind and senses are very clearly felt. And hence it has been stated as a separate klesha. And similarly, Abhinivesha is also a part of Dvesha. But still, this is profoundly felt in our life. The impact of this aspect of Dvesha is profoundly felt. It impacts our life. And hence, probably, Patanjali has stated Abhinivesha as separate from Dvesha. And the difference between the usage is Swarasavahi. It naturally flows in our mind. There is always this flow of Abhinivesha in our mind. This sense of survival is always there in our mind. So we are always aware, and this is very essential for our survival. It keeps us always on the alert. In a way, it makes us alert and helps us ward off all that might cause death or that might question my survival. So that is very essential. So the survival instinct, that is always awake in us. Very beautifully put by Patanjali as Swarasavahi. It doesn't mean that it is, the flow is naturally there. It is independently happening, but it is again caused by the innumerable deaths, death experiences of the past lives. That vasanas, those past experiences in the previous births, they keep this klesha called Abhinivesha flowing in the mind always. So that is Abhinivesha. Yes. There is a question here. Is Sangha, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, same as Abhinivesha? Abhinivesha is a kind of Sangha, yes, an attachment. But as I mentioned here, Abhinivesha, in the context of Bhagavad Gita, Sangha is association or clinging to any object outside. But whereas Abhinivesha here is specific to survival, to the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, Abhinivesha is nothing but the feeling, the constant feeling, though it might not be mentioned outside, that I should always exist and my existence, I should never go out of existence. This survival instinct, or the clinging, or the clinging for life or fear of death, that is specifically Abhinivesha here. Whereas the Sangha in the Bhagavad Gita is not limited only to Abhinivesha. So Sangha seems to be a pervasive term, whereas Abhinivesha is a specific term of fear of death or clinging to life. I hope I have answered your question, sir. So that is Abhinivesha. And this Abhinivesha, Swarasavahi, and Vidushaha Api Tatharudha. As it is found in any normal ignorant being, it is found even in the scholars or the enlightened. So that is there. Even an animal or an insect, when we try to hit a mosquito, does it offer itself to be killed? No, it tries to escape. So why does it escape? It escapes because the yogis say that it has this abhinivesha flowing in its existence, in its life. So because of that awareness, because of this klesha, abhinivesha, it just slips out of our hands and escapes. So as this abhinivesha is found in the smallest of small creatures like mosquitoes and others, it is found in great scholars even, vidushaha api. Even in scholars also, this feeling is there. And it is very difficult to root out. And the method to root out all these five kleshas, including abhinivesha, is kriya yoga. So, klesha tanukaranarthaha. So, to weaken all these kleshas, like abhinivesha, dvesha, raga, asmita and avidya, the method prescribed by Patanjali is kriya yoga, tapaha, swadhyayaha and ishvara pranidhanam. So, this is the five kleshas. And then the method to totally overcome, totally annihilate, totally remove these kleshas is presented in the 10th sutra. Te pratiprasavaheyaha sukshmaha. We will take up this again, is a bigger discussion. We will continue this in the next class. So thus far we have defined or discussed the five kleshas and the kriya yoga as the method to weaken these kleshas. Yeah, that is now we can take up a few questions already. Yeah, there is a question here. Nichaya tat mrityumukhat pramuchyate. True. Yes. These kleshas are to be separated. These kleshas, there is a quotation from the Kathopanishad. Raghuvarma Mahodaya has given this statement from Kathopanishad. Nichaya tat mrityumukhat pramuchyate. Arthaha abhiniveshat. Aam vaktum shakyate. Tatra bhashyam drashtavyam tathapi, all these causes, the granthis, these in another quotation in the Mundakopanishad we see that these are the granthis of the hridaya, bhidyate hridaya granthihi. So there are various terms used in the Upanishads. All these point essentially to these aspects of the kleshas. So abhiniveshah eva mrityubhayam janayati iti na abhiniveshah eva mrityubhayam. So abhinivesha and mrityubhaya, fear of death, are not separate from each other. Abhinivesha is the fear of death. Yes, it's, yeah. So any other questions regarding the kleshas? Again, there is a question. Is asmita because of avidya the fundamental cause of raga, dvesha and abhinivesha? Yes, true. Avidya is stated as the kshetra, the prasava bhumi of all these kleshas. Yes. As I mentioned earlier, all these kleshas are arranged in such a manner that these are in a cause and effect sequence they are arranged. though the root cause of all these kleshas is avidya, the preceding klesha also seems to be the cause of the next klesha. As I mentioned, asmita directly springs from avidya, and the root cause of raga, of course, is avidya. The root cause of raga is, of course, avidya, but its immediate cause seems to be asmita. And similarly, the root cause of dvesha is, of course, avidya, but the immediate cause seems to be raga. And similarly, the root cause of the klesha called abhinivesha is avidya, but it also seems to have emerged from dvesha. And hence, there is a beautiful link. The source is avidya, and the later kleshas are interlinked in a cause and effect connection. Is the sadhana then to eliminate avidya? Yes, sir. In the sense, the question, again there is a question, is the sadhana then to eliminate avidya? The sadhana to eliminate avidya will be presented as viveka khyati later. Then, according to yoga, it is the viveka khyati that eliminates avidya. Viveka khyati is the discriminant discernment, or the clear knowledge that all the source of suffering, pain and other things belongs to the realm of prakriti, and the purusha is pure. So this clear separate knowledge, the knowledge of separation of prakriti and purusha, that is what is going to deliver us from avidya. But these sadhanas, as has been mentioned, avidya, the kriya yoga sadhanas like tapaswadhyaya and ishvara pranidhana are targeted more at the symptoms like the avinivesha, dvesha, raga and asmita. These deal with the symptoms. When the symptoms subside, the mind becomes ready to take up the real medicine. So probably these sadhanas in a way are symptom suppressors, and the real medicine called the viveka khyati, which is the antidote or which removes ignorance, comes later when one is symptom free. So that is how it is arranged. Yes. So I hope the sadhanas, right. So what is the meaning of the term khyati? Khyati is knowledge. Anitye nitya khyatihi, the knowledge of something being permanent in an object which is impermanent. So khyati essentially means knowledge. So we conclude the session here and continue in the next class. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Dhanyavadaha. Shubhadinam.